everybody. Do you know that we have been knowing each other for at least 8 years? Do you know that? Okay. Because for the past 8 years, we really would like to express our gratitude because your church has been supporting our ministry, and you have been our mission partners for the past 8 years. So some correction is we use our profession. We have been involved in our own professions, and I'm a nurse, and my husband is a medical technologist, and we have been in our own professions for more than 20 years, but we have been serving in this Kent region for only 10 years only. So we'd like to thank you for giving us this opportunity to share with you the work of the Lord and also what we have been experiencing. Okay, is the PowerPoint on? So I think I have only about 20 minutes to share, right, the word of the Lord. Yes, 25, okay. It's on the desktop, the PowerPoint. Right, if you ask me, what is the great Kent region? Do you know what is Kent, C-A-N? Creative Access Nation. Have you heard about this terminology before? No, yes, yeah, some of you. Yes, Kent, we just make it short, Kent, Creative Access Nation, or region, or CAR, we call it CAR. And because usually these countries where missionaries are officially not welcome, so that's why somehow we need to use some other platforms to enter this kind of countries to serve the people over there. If you ask me, what is the greatest challenge of serving in a Kent? That means a creative assassination. It's that simple, because we are not allowed to do what? To preach the gospel publicly or openly. And then if we can't do that, then what, how should we live, you know, among these non-believers or in this non-believing world? How should we live, you know, our lives? Today we'll try to read this Today we would like to read the Deuteronomy in the Old Testament and see what did God request from the Israelites who were living in a non-believing world. And since we didn't have the chance of reading this morning, so let's read the scriptures together, shall we? Four verses only. Okay, let's go. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today? This book of Deuteronomy was written by Moses in around 14 and 10 BC. And what's the purpose of writing this? And some of you might know that. Because there was a new generation of Israelites was about to enter the promised land, remember? And this multitude had not experienced the miracle at the Red Sea or heard about the law given at the Sinai. And they were about to enter a new land with many dangers and temptations. And this book of Deuteronomy was given to remind them of God's law and God's power. As we all know, in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, both of these books, we notice that they mention about the Ten Commandments, offerings, uncleanliness, and unlawful sexual relations, and how we should treat the poor, Remember the Sabbath, the Jubilee, the year of Jubilee, the civil law, and also the practical holiness. And in general, in fact, the content of these two books can be categorized into the emphasis about the social aspect, the economy aspect. That means, example, how one sells this building in a walled city or in the village is different if you have a chance to read about these two books. And about the law aspect and also the decrees, the religious decrees. In fact, the unbelieving world, that means the non-Israelites at that time in the Old Testament, would be very interesting with the Israelites about the above mentioned four aspects. In fact, the social systems address nations to claim. To claim what? Just now we have read one of the verses. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And from these four verses, can you see that? What should the Israelites do when entering into a non-believing region? What did the God command them to do? Follow up. Follow and observe the laws and the decrees carefully. And what's the impact? If I follow the laws of the Lord or the decrees, what will be the impact on the society? And the non-Israelites, the non-believing community, and they will claim that, wow, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Can you see this from the verses? But all these good reputation are based on what? Based on two things. Our relationship with the God, they can see that. And also, the righteous decrees and laws. The good reputation for these Israelites are based on these two things. And in fact, all the other nations cannot compare it with the Israelites. Whenever the non-believing nations observe the Israelites, they will find them to be different. The wisdom in the whole Israel, the whole social structural system. But the most inner reason was that the God they worship was with them. And based on the two verses, we can conclude that it's because of the God's presence and the righteousness of the Lord of the Lord. But how come our Lord can't be seen, right? Can't be seen. And actually, what can be seen, you know, among the Israelites? The non-believers, what can they see from the Israelites? It is the way how the Israelites live out their daily lives that becomes the witness of the Lord and which will attract the non-believing nations to him. Okay, back to the 21st century now, okay, our society. We are now living in a society, we have all the well-established laws, right? And almost everything is under control and prevention. And when I first time, this is my first time to come here, to Vancouver, and I found out that I would like to bring in some gifts, you know, for my friends, but I found out that, you know, the custom is really straight. I can hardly to bring in anything from Hong Kong. You know, the dry meat, you know, the fruits, you know, all this, I can't bring in. Because you have a well-established rules and regulations that all the visitors have to comply with. And everyone's supposed to abide by the law, right? Is that true? But I can tell you, most of the creative access nations are developing countries. And there are lots of default cultures, or ways of doing things that we may not agree to. But to them, it's normal. It's a norm to them. But how can we live among this non-believing world? But in fact, there are ways that we can live out differently. Let me share with you some of the stories. Before we returning back to the field in 08, my husband and I were assigned to an area which has just had as a natural disaster. And so there are a lot of constructions that we need to sponsor. And one of the primary schools is supported by a denomination in Hong Kong. It's about 300,000 Canadian dollars about rebuilding a primary school. And so after a year and a half, you know, the school was completed. And do you know what happens? The principal of the primary school, one day he had a meeting with my husband, and then he would like to say thanks, you know, because we are the one who oversees, you know, the projects, the reconstruction or the construction of the new primary school. And after the meeting, he bring out an envelope. And my husband don't know what it is, so just open the envelope. And you guess what's inside? Cash notes. Piles of cash notes. Quite a fair bit. And then my husband just say, no. We don't need this. Okay. Just return back to the principal. And you can imagine what's the response of the principals. Don't know what to do. Because it's a normal culture or norms in that society that to give this kind of, we call it a kickback, is it? A kickback. A commission giving to a middleman, okay, or you can say. And but because of this interaction, this principal knows us very well. And one day, when he had a chance to leave the country and go out for some exchange, and this principal one day asked for a Bible. He said that, "I would like to have a Bible." To that, to him, he can see that these people are different. The way that they live is different from what they usually do. And also because of this destruction that we donate quite a lot of medical equipment to different hospitals. And during the interactions with the medical sales managers, and again, because I know the cultures fairly well, so that's why before, the first time when I met the sales manager, I usually do the introduction first. And I usually say that, because in this culture, you can't say things directly. You can't say that, okay, you don't need to give me money, or I don't receive any kickback. We won't do that in this culture. They won't accept that, all right? So I have to do it quite tactfully. And so when I do the introduction, I usually will do it in this way that, sales manager, we come here to serve the people here. And there is a great need here, and we are charity organizations. And so please give me a favorable price that or a good discount, okay, because we are a charitable organization. And you don't have to think of other things. You just give me a good discount, and then I will pay you the cash, and then we make the deal. And usually, after I do this kind of introduction, usually the sales manager will be very tense, you know, because they didn't know what I'm going to say. But after, usually, you know, they heard what I introduced, and I can see they smile, and then they feel more relaxed and released. And through this, I have been in contact with, you know, more than 10, you know, sales managers, because we donate quite a lot of medical equipment. I have to contact with different medical equipment companies. And usually they react the same way. And I thank Lord that because we stand firm with what we believe, and also we express, the way that we express, and they know that what you meant, that means you won't receive any commission or kickback. And in fact, of course, one way that we can save a lot of money, that the money can use on the other way. And the other thing is a good testimony to them too. I tell you, after 4 years of service, before we leave the site, quite a few of them, you know, they come back and knowing that we are leaving, and they say goodbye to us. And sometimes they just give us a small present, biscuits, you know. And we become good friends. And in such a way that, as good as, in such a way that, you know, they will tell us some of the secrets. So these are the testimony that we can, you know, testify during when we serve the Lord on the field. And we won't use our power because we donate a lot of things, you know, to the areas. For instance, a vehicle, a four-wheels vehicle, that they can go down to the village, you know, to do some inspection. But after the donation, we won't say that, you know, okay, I would like to use your four-wheel vehicles. We never do that. And they can see the difference, you know. This kind of people is really different, and they are humble, and they, you know, didn't take advantage of them, you know. And so after a year and two, you know, a lot of one day, one of the superintendent of the maternal and child health hospital, the superintendent, he asked me, when we are walking back to the shelter house, you know, and then for a training, it's about 4 minutes left, and then suddenly he asked me a question. Hey, what is Christianity? I would like to know more. And I need to tell him within 4 minutes, within the walk, you know. And then what is Christianity? What is sin? And what is Christians? And this superintendent, you know, was also interested in buying a Bible by himself. And also about our daily lives. We live a simple life on the site. Even the water in here, you know, I went to the supermarket, and a lot of the Canadians, they buy the bottles, right? The bottles of water to drink, is it? And when we are in the field, we try to save the water. Do you know that the water resources is getting less and less? Of course, in Vancouver, you have this snowy mountain, you know, you have a lot of ice water, you know, very good water. But in those developing countries, water is a problem. So how do we live our simple life? The washing machine, after the washing of the clothes, we save up the waters for flushing the toilets. And to us, you know, we come from Hong Kong. It's not the usual way that we did, right? But we learned to live a simple life when we were on the site. We didn't live in a extravagant, you know, flat, you know, because the rental rate is really low, you know, only a few hundreds per month, the local currency. But we just live the usual residential areas with local people, and so that we can make friends with them. Of course, we didn't smoke, and we didn't drink. But to them, you know, almost every man, or even teenagers, they would smoke and drink. And so to these, you know, it's become a good witness to them. As God's people, when we live with a different style, which is pleasing to our Lord, we will become attractive. Not attracting non-believers to us, but attracting them to our Lord. Then how should we attract people to know Him, to live among the non-believing world, so that we can attract non-believers? Our Jesus also lived amongst the people, attract them. And this is the incarnational ministry. However, we must be seen. If we want the world to know about our God, the character of Him must be expressed in His people's daily lives. In Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see the two nouns, light and good deeds, and also the verb shine, see, and praise. And in fact, this good light is the good deeds. For the last 2 years, I've arranged a medical surgical team from overseas to enter this region to serve the local people, because 9 out of 10 of the local surgeons were killed during the natural disaster. So all the new surgeons, they are really young, only about 1 to 2 years experience. That's why we arranged some medical team to come over to serve them, to teach them, to coach them. And after this past 2 years have gone, and each time they come here for 1 week only, and they operate on different kinds of patients. Last year, we have operated on about 53 cases. And then during their visit, during the surgical team visit, about 12 of them, with the daily interaction, the local medical personnel could see a different group of medical volunteers who are not knowledgeable, but not arrogant, humble during the coaching, with a loving heart and patient in teaching and caring of the patients, and with a prudent attitude. With our good deeds that attract them, they ask a lot of questions during their visit. For instance, the hospital superintendent claimed that he had never encountered such a group of high qualification of surgeons in his life. But I'm sure what he meant was that he had never seen such a group of highly qualified doctors and nurses who could serve with such a humility. During the whole week, we have at least 4 inquiries that whether the local doctors and nurses would like to join our organization to serve the needy. And one day, while I was working in the operating theaters, and I was typing the patient list, and then the only nursing officer of the operating theater asked me a question. She said that, "I know that Dr. So-and-so, they are Christians, but how about the rest of the team?" That means more than 10. Because I was so busy, in typing, I quickly just replied her that, all of us are Christians. And she was surprising and replied, "What? All of you are Christians? Then I must seek a religion too." And as well, I expressed, the culture of this the people in this country, they won't say things so directly, So what she meant is that, wow, Christianity is really good, huh? During the last night, while we are having the appreciation dinner with the local medical personnel, we as a team of 15, we sang a hymn about love. And in this song, the name of the God is not mentioned and is not allowed to be mentioned. And after we finished, a local medical staff expressed that the lyric of the song was so meaningful, so nice, and he would like to know where he could find it. And our short-termer just quickly replied, "From the Bible." So let's pause and think about a Christian community of only 15 of us. We can make such an impact on the non-believing community. If the Israelites think about during the Old Testament, could follow and observe the law of the God closely, imagine what will be the impact. The impact will be much more than this community of 15 members. The whole Israelite history has to be rewritten again. And let's see our present status. As of the early 21st century now, Christianity all over the world, we have around 2.2 billion. Do you know that? But of course, this Christianity is a broader perspective. That means it includes the Catholic Church, the Protestantism, and also the Eastern Orthodox Church. So in general, it's about 2.2. And how about the world population now? The latest one is 7.1 billion. And So it's about one third of the population, right? And just think of this 2.2 billion of believers. If every day each one of us can live differently without conforming to the world's values, but attracting the non-believers to know our God, can you imagine how great will be the impact? We are representing Christ to this world. In the Kent region, the greatest challenge is that you can't preach the gospel openly. But as Christians, we still can live differently so that we can to attract non-believers to know our God. By having a close relationship with our Lord and also with good deeds. And how about you in Canada? Canada, you're having one of the best social welfares in the world. And you can have all the freedom to preach the gospel. But can the non-believers see the God in your life that attract them to seek for Him? And how can the whole Pacific Grace MB Church, which transform the Renfrew, right? Your district is so-called the Renfrew, huh? And how can the whole church transform this Renfrew? And hoping that today, through these four verses, we can learn that, and we pray that we all can be the people who attract others to our Lord. That's all I want to share today.